The one thing that is really shit about the Emperor, and the one reason why the Primarchs should be pissed, some of the Primarchs should be pissed off about the Emperor, is how inconsistent his daddying was with all of them, right?
So inconsistent.
Well, on one hand, he was like the benevolent sort of like god daddy to some of the Primarchs, like Dawn, like Gilliman, like the Lion, like Sanguinius, where he was like, oh, my precious boys, you're beautiful, you're the best. Like, yes.
If you look at it like an actual father, it's fucking mental.
Horus to some extent. Yeah. Lehman Russ, where it's like, gold star for you, Lehman. Yeah. He's like, woo!
Can you imagine if I was like sat there with my 10 kids and I was like, oh, really lovely to one of them.
You're a bunch of dicks.
Another one comes over and he's like, hey, Dad, and I'm just like, ignore him. And then another one comes over and he's like, Dad, what are those two mounds of earth outside in our garden? I'm like, we don't talk about those.
About those. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We don't know what happened there either, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
what
the fuck?
Welcome to the In the Tank podcast. Get ready for an hour of hot 40k goodness coming in your ears. So you're in the tank now, baby.
We're live!
We are indeed live. Welcome, everybody, to In the Tank. How are you doing?
I love how you do this every week.
Especially
there's two bugbears that you have every week, and you're like, one of them's not saying welking, and the other one is trying to remember to say...
Yes, we'll do that in a minute. We're not
going
to rush
that. We can do it now.
That.
Why the fuck
it?
Not?
Because we haven't introduced ourselves. Welcome, everybody, to In the Tank. I am Russ, and this is my fabulous dickhead co-host, Eddie, who I normally introduce in quite a sexy way. Like, oh, man, beautiful.
I feel like
co-host.
I deserve that today, to be honest with you. I've been giving you quite a lot of shit all weekend. So
you have indeed. We'll talk about that in a second. Yeah. How's life been, my man? You okay?
Oh, well, it's been excellent. Been really good fun. I've done fuckloads of hobby. I've had a great event with my boy and a couple of other lads from Tryhards, some great friends over the weekend. So that's been fantastic. We will dive into that shortly. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Returning to life post-Easter, just like easing myself into the brutality of modern living again, where I just got like, you know, soft from the break and now I've got to like kick my ass again. But yeah, no, I'm good actually, man. I'm about to enter my birthday month. So that's always fun.
You don't have a birthday month. You have a birthday. That's one day of the year. You don't be sitting there having a whole month out.
I'm not the queen. No,
it's
I know,
my birthday month, actually.
It's just always a lovely time to have a birthday in May. Like, everything cool is happening in May. So I'm quite happy about
My wife's birthday's in May as well. So.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. So what have you been working on before we get up to date with our topics?
Fuck me, have I been doing some shit.
Bless you. You've been, like, burning the... candle at both ends upside down fucking underwater.
So the week before last I painted 15 flayed ones, a load of score peck and stuff, which we talked about. But then this week, because I was doing this event and also because I wanted to play it on stream, I finally pulled the cord, the rip cord that I've been holding on to for possibly 15 years as a Necron player, built and painted two Doomsday arcs, which I have to say was a fucking miserable experience.
I've heard this from Necron players. They hate them, right?
Yeah.
Is it because of the sub-assembly?
Yeah, you have to sub-assembly. Like, so Doomsday arcs aren't as bad as Ghost arcs because they don't have the men inside them.
Sure.
I think when I did my Ghost arc, I had it in like over 20 pieces. With this one, I think there were about 12 or 13 or something each. But obviously I had two on the go at once. So I painted two of those and also another Psychomancer because they're just fucking great. So that's what I've done, and it was a lot of work, but I got it done, and actually running them over the weekend was amazing. I can see why everyone always runs two of them. They are awesome. So
and they look quite cool.
They're beautiful once they're done. Don't get me wrong, and nothing against the models. I think they look stellar. Like those cannons underneath are really, you know, really packing a good 5 or 6 inches. Like, you know, but they're really thematic. But it's just getting the fuckers on the table. I'm so glad I've finally done it because now I can actually run them in my lists.
Well, and to get them both done at the same time is nice.
Yeah, exactly.
So
what have you been doing?
Hanging around. I was getting stuff ready for the event. I painted old bike. I was done way in advance.
Yeah, you're actually pretty on it this time.
I was like planned it out and I had it done.
I was well impressed.
So I did my possessed that I need to like actually now properly highlight properly.
Yeah.
And bile to a tabletop standard. Yeah. And I've got my Trench Crusade stuff arrived.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to get involved with that. But before I do, I need to get some stuff done for the old battle barn. I'm going to paint some Legionnaires' disease. Get some Legionaries done for the battle
Russ
barn.
Has started his fall to chaos. I mean, we're going to talk about it in a second.
I feel like a fucking veteran of the old war now, mate.
You really are.
Like, I've been fighting with my kinsmen in
I
the
think
war.
My peak comment from one of your opponents this weekend that you told me about was when you faced in the mirror another Chaos player. And they said, so, how long have you been playing Chaos? And you were like, oh, this is my first day. And they were like, I'm sorry, what? Because you did really fucking well. Like, well, let's dive into it, shall we?
Yeah, yeah. So obviously we had, before we do, like, comment, subscribe.
Damn, I was trying to I was trying to rush you through it so you forgot.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
I always do that. I'm now trained and disciplined. Everybody, thank you for watching our amazing videos. We've got 2,100 hours of watch time, which is banging. But not as much subscribers. Get involved, subscribe, please.
Send us to all your friends who like idiots. Who like listening to idiots talk about
Warhammer idiots and just smash those two things together. And we're good. We're good. But please do get on the Discord. Our Discord is the place to be.
Thank you to our Patreons because you guys are legends and you help keep this affordable for us every month. So thank you. Superstars.
So we need to talk about the event that we both attended because people might not know if they haven't heard previous episodes. So it was a team event, correct? So it was a five-person, six-team event where I had no idea how the shit goes down. Like, it was way more like involved
than I thought. You watching the pairing
process
was like,
I was just my brain was exploding. So I was very fortunately paired up with, obviously, your tryhard guys and Sam being team captain, right?
Sam Nash, for those of you guys who haven't seen him on the competitive scene, he's an amazing player. And having him as our captain, like, he was so good with all the pairings.
He was really good.
He was so good.
Normally, I'm quite anti-authoritarian, right? And I don't like to play with people, right?
I don't play well with others.
I don't. And I was very happy taking team orders from Sam, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that he's so West End and a bit like gangster, you can't. And I'm that's actually
you fucking
quite.
Do what you're told,
yeah,
Russ.
Do what you're told, fucking.
You fucking
get
sit
involved.
Behind those rules and you fucking send them out.
And I love
Sam. Bobby was like, this is actually kind of cool. I quite like this guy as a captain. He's not a knob. He's actually quite cool. So I was down with it. I was being, it was like being ordered around by one of the Mitchell brothers or something. It was cool. I need to start this off, right? Because obviously I was playing CSM. I was playing Agents of Bio. And obviously I don't have an army fully painted. So in classic troll fashion, to start off the event on the right foot, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I do.
They got the army and they're like, here you go, Russ, here's your army. And I'm like, great, awesome. Let's check out these sick models, right? Night Lords. Hold on, what are those? 2 Space Wolf Rhinos and a load of fallen Space Wolfy dudes to be my chosen. And I'm like, you fucking can't. And I was like, fucking hell. And
it
the comments,
such top band.
Warboss John saw blood. Blood in the ocean. He was like, Space Wolf, and that was it then. Everyone, fucking again, Space Wolf comments.
Mike, the TO, Michael Kaur, for those of you who don't know him, he's an absolute legend. Yes.
You ran an incredible event to the point where
he really did.
That was such a great event.
Beautiful terrain as always. Top lad, goes around, helps set up all the tables between rounds. He always goes above and beyond. Honestly, it was amazing. I don't think anyone had a bad word to say about it. All I ever hear about his events is positive feedback. So if you're looking for a good event in the sort of Oxford area, then
Didcot Games Club and Michael. But even he gave me some fucking sass as well.
He came over and he was winding you up. I was yes, Michael.
Right at the beginning, because, I didn't have the best event before this event, right? Like, I got wrecked. I got absolutely wrecked at previous. So I was kind of licking my wounds a little bit. So I'll be radically honest, going into this event, I was a little bit anxious because obviously, the player level's a bit more. I've got a team that not necessarily are relying on you per se, but you don't want to fucking let your team down, right?
No, and there were some good players there that weekend as well.
And also, I'd never played Chaos before. So, of course, I had my cheat sheet of notes and stuff, and I was ready to go. And it was amazing. It was probably like my favorite event that I've ever done ever. Right?
It was so much fun, wasn't it?
Oh my God, dude. It was sick. Like the whole day, the 2 days, it was just literally my perfect event. We only had 4 rounds, so it was two rounds each day.
It's really nice.
Perfect amount for me. Mm. Perfect amount for me. That's enough for me to process.
Because 3 is always a bit of a push on the Saturday. I always get knackered. With a team event. Like, it's okay for singles, but like team events is a
I always flail at the end of the first or end of the second day, right? But this time I was like consistent throughout, right?
Yeah.
I think that really, really helped. Right?
Keep the energy levels up.
And I mean, you know, we'll talk about how I did in a minute, but like how did you enjoy it? Did you have a good time?
I loved it, yeah. It was so much fun.
You were like well involved. You were locked in the tank. There were times when I would like look over at you and you were just like literally just like that. Like,
well, I was trying to do like, you know, trying to score as many points as I could because I was playing my Necrons. I decided to run Awakened Dynasty with Wraiths instead of Warriors just because I wanted to test them because I'm going to the ITT in Birmingham this coming weekend. And I really wanted to sort of get the Wraiths out of my system, see how they worked, and then if they don't, go back to the Warriors that everyone else is running, which is what I've done in the end. I really did enjoy the Wraiths for some reasons, but also I think the Warriors are just a bit more of a stable position. But the way that my list plays is very like holding on and sort of trading and trying to like eke every fucking point out of the game. And that's
milking
what
it.
I was
milking
yeah.
it.
And I had
was
some close games.
Was that a similar kind of vibe that you played against me on the barn, essentially?
Yeah, similar to that, because I played Awakened there as well, but that I think I was playing Warriors then, obviously.
Same detachment?
Yeah, exactly.
So lots of resi
yeah,
nonsense.
Exactly. But if anything, it was just a more honed in version of that.
Yeah,
list.
That shit sticks, man. You're fucking
with the Doomsday
arts. So
like, it's a lot more powerful because those just sit back, they screen, they blap shit, they just don't die.
If your opponent doesn't have a swingy unit to like deal with a lot all at once, you can just like wear shit down.
Yeah.
Like it's just not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All the reanimating bullshit. And also the psychomancers were fucking awesome. Like they could just throw out an 18-inch battle shock at the start of my command phase at -1. And obviously if I was running 3 of them. So I could just be like, take a battle shock in the middle. And I've only got one guy on it. He's got like a 10-man unit on there or something. And then he'll pass it. And I'll go, take another one, pass it, take another one. Failed it. Okay, cool. That's my objective. I get 5 points. Like, so powerful.
I do have a distinct memory of, like, playing against someone whose teammate was playing against you and they came over to, like, you know, get some information or something and he was like, how you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just slogging it against Wraiths and I just can't get through this fucking Wraith horde. Like, so depressing. I can't do anything. And I'm just like...
My favorite one, like one of my highlights, there was a couple of highlights from my Tau game. My opponent, Phil, was an absolute lad. We had such a great game and it was so close. We ended with a draw, which in WTC standards was within like, you know, 5 points of each other or whatever.
Did you win? Did you actually win it though?
No, he won it by like, oh God, it was like 3 or 4 points or something like that. But it was a draw by team standards, basically.
Yeah, no, of course.
And turn one, I couldn't fit everything behind the ruin and keep everything safe. And obviously, Tau are very shooty. So I had to sort of leave something out. And I thought, well, I'll leave the reanimator sticking out a little bit and see if he'd come for it. So he came around the corner with one of his big riptides and he shot the fuck out of it with like the riptide and with one of those little planes. I can't remember what they're called. And he didn't kill it because I just bonked all the four up field opponents. And he was like, okay. And then I just healed back to full next turn. And then a Doomsday Arc was like, how are you doing? And then the best thing was, my Scorpet Lord with the 4-up field opponent just ran up the side and was like, hey, little stealth team, I'm just going to punch your shit in and just stand on the objective. And then he eventually killed the Riptide.
Amazing.
It was so much fun. Like, we just, and also my Doomsday Arc tank shot like one of the Tau commanders, 5 dice on him. He had 1 wound left, punched him and killed him. It got a 6, and
wow.
Then he wailed a 1 because he had a 2
disrespect.
Save.
What, a battle suit? A battle suit command.
Yeah. Crisis commander, yeah. It was
I love that.
So
what such disrespect to the Tau.
With a 2-up save,
like
he rolled a 1 and couldn't re-roll it. And I was
like,
this
ancient Terminator just rams into this fucking commander. For the greater good!
Yeah, it's so good. But yeah, no, we had, like, my games personally were really good. What were you going to say? Sorry.
No, yeah, so just so we got structure. So you had 4 games.
4 games.
How did they go each game?
So first one was against World Eaters. Really tough. I think he was playing something similar to Josie from Tryhard's Vessels list, which was really tough to go into. I had a couple of cock-ups and failed a couple of those fallback checks where you just can't fall back if you fail them. Which really made a massive swing in the middle. And he played it really well. I just couldn't basically get on the point, and therefore I started four behind. So I lost that one. Then we had, who did I play next? I played John, Warboss John. And I avenged my brother, my Russ, because you keep getting your shit pushed in by him because he lives rent-free in your head.
Oh, yeah, always. That fucker's like, he charged me, Russ.
Yeah, so we managed. It was a really good game. With like John and I had a great game. We were just throwing shit at each other, trading all game. So that was really good. And then I had two draws into, the first one was against Eldari Yanari, which is such a fucking cagey game. I don't know if you've ever played it. Like, if you kill something in shooting, they could just make a whole ass move, like with something. Dude, so basically, what I was having to do was, like, he had this big corridor with like 20 Dark Reapers in it, just shooting the fuck out of me. So all I was doing was just returning a bit of Doomsday Artfire and killing like two or three Reapers every time, and then leaving two alive.
Making them inert, like making them more inert,
making them basically sort of not as good. And like I kept doing that, and then it was just really cagey, and we ended up, I won technically
that
by a point.
That seemed sweaty. That seemed well sweaty.
A very good game. Like,
but well done for winning it. We'll count that as a win personally.
Yeah,
not
that was another John. Good lad. It was a draw. And then the last one into Tau, which I had a really good early game where everything went my way. And then he just fucking clapped back and just annihilated like most of my armies for the army in the next couple of turns. And I was like, ooh, this is where he gets really hard. And I was just scrapping for points. And eventually we managed to get a draw because I got bottom of turn. I was able to scorch the earth burn an objective and just sort of pull it back on the, I resurrected a Lich Guard onto a point and stole it. Battle shot the guy off with the Psychomancer. Really like, you know, close shit, but I managed to just eke the draw. So that was a great game. Phil was a great opponent. We had such a, like, he was like, oh, turn one. And then he was like, yes, turn two. And I was like, ah. Oh. And then we were both like just sweating, like beating up for the next two turns, was trying to scrap. It was fucking great.
Whenever I looked over at you, you were either in one of two states of mind. You were either like really like brooding over what you did, or you were just a lad having a great game of 40K. You were just like laughing and just rolling shit. And, like, there were more than a few times where I looked over and I was like, oh, my boy's having a good time. That's great.
Yeah, you like, sounded like you were having a great time as well.
Michael said he could hear me, like, in the other game room.
I could. Yeah, like, right behind me. Every time I looked over, you were like, yes. But anyway, what were your games then? Run us down.
Oh, my God. Ed, I cannot express how much fun I had like that weekend.
You were having the time of your life, I saw.
Oh, so much fun. Weirdly, my first game was my worst, right? And it was probably actually my worst matchup.
That was
the
a very hard
weekend.
Round for
but
us.
But
they
went second, though, didn't they?
They did. They were the fivefold path, and they had all CSM stuff. So they had Thousand Suns, World Eaters, Death Guard, CSM, and what was the other one? I've said Thousand Suns. Emperor's Children. Yeah. So
your
they had everything. Yes, you did.
So Sam briefed me going into this match. This was going to be a tough game. All I had to do was just get as many points as possible. And I lost by a smallish margin.
Yeah.
But there was just nothing really I could do. And I was kind of getting used to the army and positioning and stuff. And the way that Bile tends to do really, really well is like try and dominate as much as the board position as possible and just send it in waves, right? So, like, the possessed go in is, like, your shock attack. So I was running, like, 20 possessed. And they kind of just, like, maul, right? Your understanding is that they're probably not going to last the entire game, but they're just going to maul your opponent so bad that then when you send in the waves of Legionnaires and the Chosen with Bile and stuff, that you then just, like, it becomes overwhelming, right? Especially with, like, Obliterators, because I was running, like, two Obliterator blocks and stuff like that as well. The problem was I couldn't hold off really against him because if I did, I'd be shot to shit from Noise Marines and countercharged by massive.
I mean,
fuck
you
off
had
demon,
quite a tough time there, right? Because you're playing an army you've never played before against an army that's only just come out that you've never played against. So
Exactly. And it was running the harsh three demon prince list, right?
Oh, yeah, they're fuckers. They
half
hit,
damage.
Trains, right?
It does like six mortals on the charge. Like, oh my god, dude, like fucking awful. But even then, I was still like gouging like his eyes for like however many points I could like get, right? And it just gave me a vibe of like how fast things moved, mm-hmm. like roughly what stratagems are like really good in what sort of positions and stuff. Yeah. So I was like, okay, fine. This wasn't like the easiest matchup for me ever. Cool. Then the second game I was against Custodes, right? And Sam was like, look, man, it's a pretty even Stevens like match for you, man. I don't know how you're going to do with this. Like, just be careful, just because the wardens are well hard, so you could mm-hmm. just bounce off them. So if you're going to attack them, like, fucking go all in.
He was trying, telling you to try and, like, bait the Feel No Pain out with your blitz and stuff. Did you manage to do that or not?
He didn't take the bait, unfortunately.
He didn't take it.
I know. So, like, so bless it. Love the opponent and helped me out loads. Like, really cool guy. Love him, part of the Didcot Games Club as well. And I've played him before. He's an amazing dude. And I got like flashbacks to like first Heretic vibes where it's like possessed fighting Custodes, mm-hmm. which is quite cool. And I thought I was in trouble early doors because he like used a stratagem to split up because he was playing the Lions detachment. Yeah. He split up a unit of Terminators into three and then I drew tempting targeted. And because they were on the backfield, he chose just all three of those.
And, you were like,
for fuck's sake, like, Mark for Death. What? Yeah. Like, yeah, Mark for Death. Sorry, Mark for Death. That was the one. And I'm just like, oh, shit. But just by pure attrition and just lobbing stuff, like just just literally just going for it and just sweatily doing some like fight on death stuff. And Devies do hurt Custodes quite bad.
They do, yeah.
Right, the combination of the Devies from my possessed blocks and the Devies from my combi bolters from the chosen brick.
Yeah.
And stuff like that just really helped. And I had some good unit recursion and stuff like that as well. And, you know, I got quite a comfortable win out of that game. So I was like, oh, good. Okay, this is cool. Right, this is cool. Getting there. And then things just got better from there. So then it was day two. And this is where I earned my stripes as a veteran of the Long War now, where I've been fighting in the warp against my fellow CSM. Because I got the mirror match not once, but twice.
You did, yeah.
Against far more experienced CSM players who've been playing for fucking years, including my first opponent on the Sunday who actually plays Bile.
Yeah.
So mains Bile normally. So had all the tricks sorted, although he was playing veterans. He wasn't actually playing Bile at all. I did get a wicked bonus, though, at the beginning of the game, because obviously you randomise your thing. Yes. I got the plus 2-inch movement and the plus 1 attack.
Oh,
and I was just like, okay, fucking, let's just fucking do this. So, you know, it was a savage game, mate. Absolutely savage. But I just fucking, like, just pinned his throat to the wall the entire game. I just, like, came out. And it wasn't, like, a particularly close, like, setup, because it was the one with the board is lengthways rather than that way. So I had more distance to travel, I think. But I just, like, fucking stormed it. I was just like, right, fuck this. I'm just going to go.
Sent it.
And Sam was like, do it. Just do it. Just get on objectives and do it. And I was like, yes, sir. I'll do that, sir. And I just fucking, I was rude. I put like a unit of 10 possessed on his backfield objective by turn two. Like, it was
God, that fucking is aggression.
Savage.
Jesus.
Oh, it's fucking savage. Absolutely savage. And weirdly, actually, I lost way more on the table than he did by the end of the game.
But that doesn't matter if you win.
Like, by that point, I just ran away with point. I just completely ran away. And
often
I got,
that's
like,
the way. If you're not like utilizing all your units and you've still got your whole army left at the end of the game, man. But you've got no points, like you've done it wrong. You should be binning everything off to just score everything, especially in teams, because it's a differential. You're trying to stop your opponent scoring as well as you trying to score. So things like, I had a moment in my Tau game where he had a flamer guy's suit and I had a score peg on two wounds. They were stood next to each other on the point near my home field. And I was like, okay, I've got two options here. I can either pile in, consolidate in and let him punch me, which might let me die and then I'll lose the point or, you know, stop him, whatever. But also, if I tag him, then he can't then move off that point and do something like establish locus in my home. And do you know what he drew? Establish locus. Mm. And I did go in and I survived it, luckily. Mm. And that stopped him scoring like 4 points or whatever off of it. So it's things like that you've got to really think about when you're playing teams.
Absolutely. And like just following orders, right? And being like, okay, right. Like, but Sam gave me full permission to just like go
Sam
in.
Sam was great, like as a team captain.
You can tell
and
that
also,
I was like ready. I'm like, come on, man, let me fucking do it. I've got plus 2-inch movement and an extra attack. Let me do it.
What was your last game then?
Bear in mind, though, I'm throwing 50 attacks from my possessed box and stuff nuts. So my last game was by far my hardest and the one where I felt like I leveled up the most, right? Both on a personal level and in the context of CSM, right? So I was really anxious going into this game. It was against the Renegade Raiders, the hotness in CSM, right?
You had two Vindicators, didn't
we? Vindicators, we've got Obliterators, we've got Unit of Chosen, we've got Abaddon himself, the main Warmaster himself, and I'm bricking
it. Big dog.
Fuck! Drakneon's gonna like be shoved right up my asshole. This is not gonna be fun, right? And Sam looked at the data and he was like, "Oh fuck, this is just you might get your ass handed to you." And I'm like, "Ah," because he goes, "If you charge in, you're just gonna get shot to pieces because you're gonna kill whatever you touch. But then he's just gonna kill you. He's just gonna overwhelm you with fire." And he said, "You're gonna not like this, Russ. But what I want you to do is just brace yourself." He goes, "I want you to just get up to the fucking line and just like hold it. Just like hold it, right? Just stay there for two turns." And I'm like, "Why? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's the opposite of what my army wants to do."
You wanted
Why?
To run and die.
Oh, I so did. Like, I was holding back, right? And so I followed orders. I was like, great. Luckily, I was going second, right?
Yes, that always helps.
This actually came into, like, be a massive swing in the end, right?
It's great on Scorched.
So, going forward, it was on Scorched as well. So all my Legionnaires are just, like, buckling behind, like, terrain. Like, there's the center objective kind of just within tasting range. It's, like, literally there. And I'm like doing locus and I'm like doing secondaries and I'm just like cocking up the secondaries and I'm moving shit around for engage and all kinds of shit. Yeah. I'm harassing him a little bit on his flank just to kind of like etch him like over and stuff. And I'm just scoring kind of weirdly more points than him on my secondaries and stuff because I've just got more units to just move around and do stuff, right? And then I'm getting to turn two and I'm just taking, and my poor CSM are like behind cover, just like, hold, like they're just like holding it and taking withering fire from like known line of sight things. Mm-hmm. And just like, they're just like holding there, just like ready to go. And they're just like getting wrecked. And then we get to like turn three and Sam's like, "Okay, do it." And I'm like, "Yes!" Because I was getting quite anxious because I was like that. And my opponent's like, my opponent thought he had it. Like, I think he was like, "This is going to be easy."
He's getting a bit cock heavy, wasn't
he? I've been playing, no, not really. He was a lovely guy, but he's been playing CSM a long time, right? And I was just like, "Okay, cool, let's fucking go. So like everything just came out and just alpha strike. Like, because he had to like come in. He like had to like come in a bit. And then just everything just fucking smashed him hard. Fabia smashed him hard. And that was it then. He just didn't really have enough units to like counteract me. And like my obliterators were standing back up and just, it was just, and I won by 1 point. And I was like, "How the fuck did that happen?"
Yeah.
I was like, "How the fuck did that happen?" I mean, obviously, from the perspective of the event, it was a draw, right? But on a personal note, I went from like a matchup that I thought was going to be just a loss, just a straight out fucking harsh like loss, to a fucking squeaky ass win.
He helps you learn restraint, Russ, which I know as a Space Wolf player is quite difficult because you're naturally just wanting to run into combat.
You fucker! You absolute fucker!
What did you think of the new Space Wolf reveals, by the way? Just quickly.
Do you know what?
On the topic.
Do you know what? Ironically, I actually think they're the best.
They're fucking cool, aren't they? Really good.
Like, I was ready to be like, shit, and be like really disingenuous. Look, they look great.
They do.
They look really subtly wolfy, actually, apart from the actual wolves, ironically. But Logan looks amazing.
He does.
He looks amazing.
He is compensating with that tactical rot, though, I have to say. He must be pushing a real chode.
but the wolves around him, and the fact that he has that cornate axe, which is kind of gammy.
I'm also glad they redid Arjak Rockfist, and he's got his like Mjolnir axe, where he's throwing it. That's fucking cool. Ah.
Very cool. And the Wolfguard looked great. Like they really weirdly, because I mean, Dark Angels had a great refresh, man. Yeah. I can't ever take that away from them.
No, they did.
Blood Angels really suffered. Like, Blood Angels sucked.
They got the tiny wing bloody Sanguard. They didn't
good.
Get any special Blood Angel Terminators, which is a shame. Although, to be fair, there was that release of those red ones that they did a while back, which were kind of Blood Angel Terminators.
But they're the wrong scale now.
No, they're not. They're big. They're the same.
No, they're not. I have them.
I have them too. They're all fine.
They're not, Ed.
I'm pretty sure they are old.
No, I've literally Ed. I own 66 Terminators.
Okay, yeah, sure. All right.
They're not. They're old scale.
They're like somewhere in between.
No, they're not. They're tiny. They're absolutely tiny. Get fucked. But the point is that the Wolfguard Terminators are the shit. They look
baller. Chunky, chunky.
Dark Angels 1, Space Wolves 1. Mm. Like, and Logan, to be fair, I really like his face. Yeah. He looks like really pissed
rugged,
off.
Right? Yeah.
He looks really like grizzly, mm-hmm. and like he does look cool.
He looks like you wouldn't want to fight him.
No.
I wouldn't
want to
fight
him. No, that's one thing. I look at the new Logan model and I'm like, you're going to really hit hard. Aren't
yeah,
you?
You're going like, to fuck me up, you're boy.
You are going to probably fucking wreck me. That's not going to be fun. And at least he's not in this fucking douchey chariot. So
yeah, that chariot, little Santa chariot, was.
So he's not got that anymore. So like, there we go. So you know, there we
but
go.
Yeah, it was a rounding up. It was a fantastic event. We did have like Sam was running a fucking Ares gunship in his custodies list, which we had to make the stand for because he didn't have a stand for it. And basically, we couldn't find a tube that worked, and the one we ordered was too big. So I just found like an old like
metal
gatepost, and I just he was just sawing it in half with his circular saw, like
with
sparks
metal.
Flying. Yeah, I've got like a recording of it. It's great. And we just had it on that. The fucking thing must have weighed like 10 kilos with all of that on there. But yeah, and then we also had Triple Wraith Knight Eldari, which was another slightly meme-y list. But I think we did really well considering like we had some very hard matchups to pair, and Sam did an excellent job pairing us all to the right.
I could have just dropped my shit, right? I could have just like lost every game.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff,
you did so well considering it's your first time with the army as well. Like you really
Thank
smashed
you.
It.
I appreciate that. That's
no,
very
you did.
Kind
you
of
smashed
you.
It.
And I actually think, weirdly, it suits my playstyle better than what I was expecting. It was like slipping into an old pair of DMs, that was.
Wait, what's your next hobby project, by the way? Like, what are you working on now? Are you going into... You're doing the Legionnaires, aren't you, for the CSM?
I need
for the
to
barn.
Do the Legionnaires for the barn. That's an absolute, you know,
Then you said
minimum.
Trench Crusade after that.
Yeah. I'm probably going to do Trench Crusade after that. Because I haven't got any big events planned apart from the LGT way later in the year and stuff like that. And then I might just think about it. I might either do CSM and rock with Bile, or I might jump on the new hotness train with Death Guard. The only thing I'm slightly worried about doing that is if I do that with Death Guard, I have a funny fucking sinking feeling that they are going to come right out the bat really hard, and then GWs is going to not bonk them right on the head again.
I don't know.
And then there'll be more elite. And then there'll be more elite.
Much. Like they might tweak the points a bit, but I'm sure they'll be fine.
No, I'm sure they'll be fine, but there'll be way more elite.
I suppose the issue is that you've got to think about what you can get on the table fastest. I suppose the Death Guard would be the one, right? Because
but then if I get my Legionnaires painted, then it's not that. It's kind of weirdly like half and
I
half.
I think CSM
right?
suits you so much, you should almost just do it first.
I'm kind of tempted to actually. The other thing that I liked about CSM, which did help my stupid brain, was that I didn't have to think too hard about secondaries.
Yeah,
I had so many more units to
How
do secondaries.
How was the little captain in the end? Because I know you said after game one that you didn't like
Not very good. Not very good. I've already made a Mark II army list, which I think is way better, which doesn't have him in it. And actually has some noise marines in it.
Oh, cheeky boy.
Yeah,
well, I'm going back onto the GSC train. So I'm now, because I can only play my Biosanctic Brew Surge list at the minute, which is a bit lame, and I want to be able to play other lists going forwards. So what I'm doing is I'm going to do, it's not going to be an optimal, like, you know, 120 neophyte list, because I just can't be bothered with that. I'd rather die. But what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do is just paint up a few more units just so that I can run a nice sort of balanced host of Ascension list with like a bit of a mixed arms, a bit of melee, bit of shooting. So I've got like 10 more neophytes, a couple of characters, and three more of the Achilles Ridge Runners to paint.
Okay.
You know, the little mining laser ones and stuff. So I'm going to do that next, and that will allow me to run a nice host of Ascension lists for the stream here in the barn, at which point I then will probably pivot forwards into something like Outlander Claw and just get all my bikes done, because I just really want to run all the bikes and like Goliath rock grinders and shit like that, because I think that'd be a fun.
They're cool. The rock grinders.
I love the bikes, man. They're just so cool. So yeah, that's the next hobby project over the next couple of weeks, and then obviously the Trench Crusade. You've already got yours. Mine should be arriving probably sometime this week, next couple of days or so.
That's definitely what we should do next, because then it will open up so much potential for like battle band stuff. So
yeah, so we'll do.
And
we'll
it won't take too long. It won't take too long.
No, there are only like 12 dudes or something you need to paint to begin with. Yeah, I've just got a lot of terrain that needs to be sorted, so we'll get on it. I think that's the plan, though.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. Speaking of hobby projects and stuff, how do we save money tips in the hobby? The times are tough. Times are tough, man. Like Britain is on fire, as is the United States and most of the Western world right now. Like, hello, everybody. So, like, how the fuck do you save money in this day and age of arguably the most expensive geeky hobbies going, actually,
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's the most expensive. Like, there's definitely some
trading
noise.
Cards are
trading cards pretty bad.
That's like you're literally like moving around £20 notes.
Airsoft is quite expensive.
Yeah, it is, actually. I didn't realize how expensive airsoft was until recently, right?
Yeah.
So, but there are significant money saving tips that you can do in order to make this hobby a lot more palatable in the long run. What do you want to start this off, my
love? Well, actually, I'll let my wife start this one off, because she, I was reading the topics out this morning, and she, and I sort of like read it out, and she goes, stop buying more grey plastic, paint the army that you've already got, and you know, stop being baited by Games Workshop into buying loads of random plastic crack. And I was like, that's
partly
pretty
true.
Good advice.
Partly true, actually.
Yeah. So that's where she said.
I think that's a really good one, actually, where it's like, I don't think, you know, you should ever not, if you really want something, like, for example, the CSM thing was really interesting for me, right? Because I sat on that for a bit.
Yeah.
Where it was like, right, I'm going to sit on this for about 3 or 4 months. And if I'm still feeling like
that, shouldn't sit on models, Russ.
No, I know.
Explains a lot.
And then I would like drip order stuff like, oh, Abaddon and some possessed and stuff like that, right? And then of course, it happened. But like, you know, by that same token, it's like, you know, if you really want it, you can wait a bit, unless it's like a limited edition thing. But the problem is that obviously, like, a lot of launch boxes these days are a bit limited edition. They tend to be relatively good deals because you get stuff for relative cheap,
especially if you split them
cheaper.
With a mate, because a lot of the time it's a dual army release, right? So, but
just really think about it, like really sit and go, do I really want this army, this more project that adds to my sort of thing, right?
It's true. Focus is important. I think more for your own sanity, but it does help you save money.
On that same token, never buy anything unless you have to, because you sometimes have to. Buy from GW Direct.
Yeah.
I always go through third-party places, such as Element
Games,
and other weirdly brick-and-mortar sort of style game stores that aren't specifically, obviously, Games Workshop, that often offer a, like, 15 to 25% discount on various products. And that will save you, obviously, a lot. Like
That does save you over
the course of an entire project, that saves you a lot. Now, sometimes there are, unfortunately, items that GW, like, hoard direct that you have to actually get direct, right? Yeah. So sometimes you have to, like, bite the bullet and do
things like that. If you're subscribed to Warhammer Plus and you get their exclusive models, you have to buy it through them, obviously.
Yeah, but sometimes just weird units.
Codexes are, like, the special limited edition ones.
But, like, sometimes they're just, like, weird models that, like, just aren't available.
Yeah.
Like, a good example, Chaos Space Marine bikes.
Yep.
Like you never really see them in the wilds.
Or the made-to-order stuff, like, you know, when they bring back things like the terrain or those random characters from yesterday.
And then you've got Hobson's Choice, right? You have to like, do that, so.
But no, it's a good shout. Like, I know that some places like Glasshammer, they have, like, an elite system where you pay a bit every month and then you get, like, even more discount off your models, which if you're buying a lot, makes a lot of sense, but... Obviously, if you're not, then Element is just great.
Any other tips? Because I've got some.
Yeah. So I think 3D printing is obviously a money saving tip. I think you can do quite a lot with that now, in terms of converting models or even like getting extra units out of a kit. Like, for example, the winged hive tyrant. if you use him, you could just buy a 3D printed chest and then you can make two. You can make a winged one and a non-winged
one.
Out of the same kit. Like, there's things like that that, you know, you're not going to spend much more, Fiverr or whatever it is, to get a little chest piece made.
And as long as the model's on the same base and is roughly the same relative size, like, a lot of TOs are totally cool with it. Yeah. A great example of the weekend, saw a lot of CSM players, weirdly, obviously fought a lot of CSM players. Yeah. Obliterators, none of them were real. None of them were actual obliterators.
Well, because they're so hard to buy.
They're really expensive. They come in a box for like £60 with a venom crawler, and it's just two obliterators and a venom crawler. It's like, ridiculous. Fuck off. It's like, I'm not spending £120 on four fucking models. Like, get fucked.
My my opponent's Tau army, the entire thing was 3D printed.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was really cool, by the way, because he printed it and made it. They had all like these wings on the top, and they had the way he painted it was like Tron. And they just looked very cool. Almost looked like you know how like Borderlands have that sort of I can't remember what they call it.
Cell shaded.
It almost looked cell shaded. It was very cool. So like, you know, people do that. Obviously, I know that people want to support Games Workshop here and there. A lot of people getting fed up with supporting Games Workshop as well. So, you know, 3D printing can be a way to save a bit of money here and there.
I'm certainly looking at options for my obliterators. Do you know what I mean? I'm like,
exactly. You know, get in touch with James from March of War.
Yeah, I might have to, actually, to be fair. Interesting. Dry brush eggs.
I'm sorry, what?
Makeup eggs.
Oh, yeah, the little sponges.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
Brilliant
they
for dry brushing and for like texture sort of vibes. Very good. Yeah.
They're really good for taking paint back off, I find, actually.
Absolutely.
Or like taking off...
And transfers.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Or as we call them, wet stickers.
Wet stickers, yeah. I use them for taking off extra... Like if I put a contrast wash over the top and I don't want it too thick on the top, but I want it in the recesses, you can just wipe them off. But you must clean them really fucking well. Because if you do not, they just turn into a little hard thing and you're fucked throwing them away.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You have to wash them.
The whole point of them is that they absorb it, right?
Yeah, so exactly. Like, you really do need to wash it properly.
Interesting one, this. Buy crap dry brushes, but as best as you can afford detail brushes.
Yep.
Right?
This sounds
weird, right? Where, like, dry brushes are kind of built to be destroyed, kind of, right, by your heavy-handedness and roughness, right?
Yeah.
So, and again, the egg works great for layering highlights and stuff like that, right? However, your fine detail brushes, a.k.a. 00, 0s, 1s, and potentially 2s, right?
Yeah.
Buy something decent. Buy Winsor & Newton.
That's what
I go for. Buy orange brushes, which are my brushes that I like. Yeah. Or if you really want to be fancy, buy an Artis Opus if that's your vibe, right?
Yep.
But the detail brushes are way better if you get a nicer brush, because ironically, you can then look after that brush with some soap and stuff. You're going to say something contradictory to this.
Yeah, I really don't like Artis Opus brushes.
Yeah, fine.
No shade on the guy at all. Like, he runs a good business and he's an amazing painter, but I found that all the hair comes out of their dry brushes, and I found that all the tips curl on their good brushes.
Well, fair.
That's what I found, just from what I bought. But Winsor & Newton, those babies will last you forever.
I'm an orange brush whore. Orange brush, greens, yellows, and reds are like what I live on. So, like, there you go. And they look after, and they're actually not too expensive, and I look after them with soap. And they're great, and they're just fantastic. They like stay tip forever. So, but go a little bit more than you want to for your detail brushes, because you'll inevitably
buy two shite ones
if you don't.
Yeah.
Stay clear of the GW brushes for the most part, because they're all a bit wank.
The small dry brushes that they do are okay.
Yeah, they're okay.
But I think, again, orange brushes are better, so...
Yeah, totally. And by that token, try and avoid buying GW hobby products.
Mm-hmm.
So like their paints, their spray cans, because you can get better versions of whatever they do, like the Colourforge
stuff. Baby. That's okay.
And stuff like that, and green stuff, you can just get better. Their texture paints for the bases, you can get better from the AK dioramas.
I tell you what I really want to try. So you know the rust effect bottles. What are they called?
Yes.
Dirty down.
Dirty down.
They
rust.
Now do a dirty down blood, and I really want to try it. It's like supposed to be really good, so I want to give that a go next.
Nice.
I need to find some of that, but yeah.
Nice.
Mm.
And then my final point on this is like a kind of like gaming/hobby combo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like Try and plan out if you can. If you're more experienced, obviously, if you're more experienced, if you're less experienced, then obviously just go with your standard combat patrol or whatever to get your feel, right? But if you are more experienced, and I've talked about this in the past, mm-hmm. plan out your general army theme rather than buying a load of chaff that you might not actually yeah. like 30 intercessors or something stupid. Like try and like figure out your rough theme and kind of go with that, if that makes sense. And never, under any circumstances, if you're saving money, meta chase.
Yeah,
never, ever do that.
I would recommend that, like, I think we've talked about this before, ages back, which were basically on what you were saying about, like, don't buy 30 intercessors. I think it's really important, whenever you look at making lists, you will invariably have, like, a few units that you put into almost every list.
Every list.
Do yeah. those first, because then you've got them for every list. And then what yeah. I would say is what Russ just said, pick a detachment or a style or theme or whatever it is, work towards creating that, which is exactly what I did for my Gene Stealer Colts with the Biosanctic. I knew that I, you know, that would probably be relatively okay for me to get done. Got it done. And now I'm at that point where I can go, all right, now I'm starting to expand yeah. into the Host of Ascension. And then once I've done that, I can expand into the next detachment that I want to play. And that's the way to go about it, because otherwise you'll try and go into too many directions at once and you'll end up like I did with my Necrons, with just random fucking shit you can't do anything with. You'll have like 5 Lich Guard, and then you're like, okay, that's not enough Lich Guard to run a Beastian's Phalanx, but it's also not enough Lich Guard to do anything else with. Do you see what I mean? I might as well not have them at that point.
So. Yeah, and those staple units don't have to necessarily be battle line units. Like a good example is Dark Angels with Deathwing Knights, right? Like get a couple
of Scouts
those.
For Space Marines.
Scouts, Scouts are really amazing. Good.
Yep.
Scouts are like fundamentally important. Like, and one box of scouts gets you 2 squads that will be in every single fucking Space Marine list.
I painted my 20 warriors for my Necrons 4 years ago or even longer ago.
And
I still fucking use them, and I haven't built any more. I've got about 120 of the fuckers, but I haven't actually built any.
But you only need 20. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you know, and that was your pass off by more than you needed of your chaff. Yeah, so
it was.
You know, there you go. And obviously don't meta chase, because, you know, what will be hot today, what will be hot today will not be hot necessarily tomorrow. And like, you know, you may get buyer's remorse and then everyone will be selling that unit at the same time.
By the time you've got round to painting the fucking thing, it's out of fashion. And then you're like, oh shit, the next thing. And you buy that and then you don't get round to painting it in time.
Walk your own path, peeps. Yeah. Like, it's always the way forward. Yep. Always the way forward.
Definitely.
Cool. So next one. And then we'll have a tasty lore topic. The rise of commission painting.
Yeah.
When did we first notice it? And do we actually even like the concept? Right? Because I'll be honest.
You go first this time.
Okay, I'm 50-50 on this.
Yeah.
So I think the weird thing about commission painting, right, was like, I weirdly had a taste of what commission painting was kind of like weirdly way earlier
in
my hobby life. As
I know exactly what it was as well.
No, it's even before that.
Was it not the Lion?
It was during my first detour with the hobby back in the early 2000s, right?
Okay.
Which was before the massive hobby explosion and stuff like that. And a friend of mine called Starkey, he was a bit, was like in the older sort of age group, he was like 18, 19 years old. And his painting was redonkulous.
Yeah.
I remember him painting a dark elf sorceress and doing like a galaxy on her robes and stuff. And he was like, commission painting, or I'm going to paint for people. And at the time, we were like, what a fucking stupid idea. Like, who would pay anyone to, like, paint the thing? And he struggled to get customers, right? In the pre-internet age stuff like that, right? So, but the seed of the concept was kind of planted in my brain, and I was kind of like, interesting. And then, obviously, as you say, I actually, later on in life, did get my Lion commissioned by Dead of Imagination and stuff like that, right? Fundamentally, I'm 50-50 split on this, right? On one hand, to me, the hobby, although it encompasses a lot of different things that appeals to different people within the concept of the hobby, I do think it's important that you do a, kind of a bit of everything, because it's kind of like, it's kind of half the fun for me, right? And although we do get stressed by like getting painting deadlines and stuff done, like you all know that you've all been in the same situation. And actually, when someone has tried really hard to make the army look really cool, there's nothing better than getting a compliment on it and someone going, oh, your army looks cool. And you're like, oh, thank you. I quite like that. That's great. And actually, it's kind of part of the culture of the hobby to like shut the fuck up and get your shit painted, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool, right? So from one perspective, I'm kind of like, you kind of like lack that whole thing with commission paying, where you just kind of spunk it and you've got it, and it's like, you know, and even if you need to like expand your army later on or it changes, you're gonna have to get more shit commissioned because you probably can't paint to that ridiculous high standard.
That's so the problem, isn't
it? Gonna look weird if you have
locked
like
in
half your army painted professionally and half not. It's gonna look really bizarre. On the other hand, I want to be as inclusive as possible because not everybody is necessarily capable of painting.
Yep.
Rather, due to like neurodivergency or just physical inability to paint, or just a lack of patience or motivation, right?
Or they just don't enjoy it.
And that's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. Like, I do think everyone should give it a go. And actually, over time, you do enjoy it more based on how much better you get at doing the hobby. It kind of perpetuates. Like, when you learn a new skill, you always start off shit and you always feel depressed about it. But then it does get better, and then you got to go, actually, this is really fun.
Yeah.
And actually, it's one of my favorite things that I actually love to do in the hobby now. But by that same token, you know, if it's not for you and you really are, you know, you want to be inclusive as possible and allow people to do it, right? And, you know, and that's totally cool. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you do you. Like,
exactly.
Absolutely.
I think from my perspective, I've got friends who have not painted... Well, actually, that's not true. They've painted like one or two models out of desperation. But like 99% of their collection is commission painted. Like Chris, who came on the Battle Barn the other weekend on Friday, he played his Triple Wraith Knight Eldari. We had such a great game. You should go and watch it if you haven't. It was hilarious. Like, he hasn't painted any of those, and he's quite happy to own up to that and be like, I just don't paint models. And like, I think if you either don't enjoy it, like you said, or if you don't have the time and yet you have the, you know, the money to afford it, or like if your time is worth more to you than that, for example, because you've got to look at it. It's like, okay, if I paint this whole army myself, that's going to take me, you know, dozens of hours, possibly hundreds of hours, depending on how much it is, etc., etc. You got to look at what your time is worth and think, well, I could just work and earn shitloads of money and go and just commission that army, and that basically trades in that time and money.
But it's quite a capitalist perspective of viewing it, rather than
it's
the journey itself.
I think it's a reality for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I get that.
You know, a lot of people out there don't have time.
But for me, the journey itself is part of the process, right?
For sure,
although it takes hours, it is an enjoyable process.
I think it's rewarding to have painted your own army, because I feel like the nice thing about it is when I put that army down on the table, I know that I've shed blood, sweat, and tears, and possibly other body fluids to get it there. And like, it's nice to have that compliment. I feel like if I had have just commissioned it and someone was like, oh my God, amazing army, I'd always be like, well, I got it commissioned, you know, and it wouldn't feel as like cool for me personally, but that's just me. You know, painting is now taking up a huge amount of my time now that the Battle Barn is done. Like, I've just pivoted to fucking painting basically most of the time in the week to just get stuff ready for the barn. And if I had the money to commission paint stuff, I'd probably be like, yeah, like, okay, sure. Like, I was talking to Michael at the weekend about getting him to potentially commission some more sets of terrain for the barn. That sort of stuff I could see me doing, because it's not my army. It's just a terrain set.
That's fair.
He does a fucking amazing job. Like, if any of you are ever looking for commissioned painted terrain, like, talk to Michael Core. Like, he's
and also he enjoys it.
Yeah, he does.
That's his pleasure.
He has painted so many terrain sets now. I can't even get over it. Like, I feel like such a lazy bastard. But like, it's that sort of thing I can see myself doing. But I couldn't. I always want that sort of self pride in my own like armies and stuff. And to answer your original question about when I saw it rising, it was probably about 5 years ago that I started. I think
really started to kick off, right?
I did an interview with what's his name, the guy who runs Siege Studio. I forget his bloody name now. With Stephen Box, back when I was working with VT, we did like a podcast interview with him. And we sat down and had a chat about it then. And I think that was when he was really starting to kick off with all of it. And obviously now Siege is like a massive company that has loads of painters employed and does shitloads of stuff. But yeah, it's cool, but it's not for everyone. And I get it. If you're on either side of the fence, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, right?
Who's your favorite painting studio?
I like Den of Imagination.
Oh, me
I think,
too.
I think they're really cool. Like,
if I was to hold
my hand up and be like, if someone was to come up to the Battle Barn and be like, hey, we want to sponsor the channel, like as a commission studio and paint you an army, I'd be like, Den of Imagination, probably.
Oh, good lad.
But like Siege are great, but they're just so expensive for me personally.
They're about the same. I think they're about the same-ish price, but maybe. I think Siege, for me, the difference between the two studios for me is, and you know, Siege, we love you. You're a great British company. Like, we want to support you. You're amazing, right?
Yeah.
But like, Siege for me is like box art with slight divergence of box art, right? Where you look at a Siege
painting thing,
and it's very classic. Like, if you literally wanted heavy metal, that is it, right? But I first encountered Den of Imagination via Winters' channel, like, because he's really in with that. And he got his Dark Angels commissioned, and, like, they just looked so good. And, like, obviously that's where I sent my lion off and requested what I wanted from my lion and stuff.
Yeah.
And they just seem a little bit more arty with it and a little bit more, like, free and easy. And they're all based in Poland. And what I found really funny was they did, like, a tour of it. And a lot of ladies work for Den of Imagination.
Really?
Like, a lot of, like women work for Den. And they're all ex-art graduates that I imagine have got, like, art degrees and masters and stuff like that, which are, like, hungry artists, literally.
That's great.
Coming out of art school, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I need a job. And Den's like, do you want to paint miniatures? And they're like, I mean, I guess, sure. Like, do you know what I mean? And they're like, I didn't expect to be earning, like, a decent salary, like, painting
talking about lady painters.
Mental.
So I was so in typical fashion, like I was so up to the line in terms of getting those Doomsday Arts ready for Friday night stream I had to get Andrea to help me.
No fucking way.
This is my wife, for those of you who don't know. So I was basically
I wish I was there to watch that.
Fuck, this is so, I'm going to run out of time. I've got to go and pick the boy up. And she was like, I'll do it. And I was like, you top legend. Just paint all the orange over the white. And I came back. She's done an absolute stellar job. Like, probably better than I would have done. She's very arty, though.
Seriously, I think there's a lot of women that I'm like, you are fucking naturally brilliant.
She's very good.
Painting.
Yeah. I said, do you want a full-time job?
Yeah, my wife's really good. Her first fucking army that she painted was Harlequins and stuff, right? Suggs is amazing. Kerry's amazing. There's a lot of, like, hobby heroes that we have that are awesome women in the hobby that are fucking ridiculous painters.
Very good painters.
Ridiculous painters.
It was James Otero, by the way, from Siege Studios.
Sure.
That's who it
James.
Was.
It is James.
I just forgot.
But yes, I'm quite a fan of Den. I quite
like that. Yeah, Den are cool.
That arty vibe. I like the Eastern European vibe as well. They're very cool. I think they can't believe it themselves. They're just great. They're just all the women. They're just like, this is great. And they're like, what are you painting? She's like, some blood angels. I like the wings.
You just come up to her and go, oh, you like blood angels? Don't know. Well, have you heard of the Horus Heresy?
Well, yes. And apparently, like, they're just enjoying listening to audiobooks and stuff like that and doing it, whether it's like, where it's like Horus Heresy books or erotica or whatever. They're just there as Europeans do, just chilling out and painting these fucking beautiful minis all day.
Yeah.
And you know, it's cool. It's cool that it exists.
It's
options.
Very cool. It's very cool.
I just, you know, it's just mind blowing that it does exist.
It is.
Do you know what I mean? If you pitch that to a normie on the street, they would just look at you like you're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as a result of me having a bit more online
presence.
It's a big
industry now. It really is.
Yeah, but as a result of, like, having a bit more online presence now with the hobby and stuff, inevitably students ask me what I'm doing at the weekend and stuff like that. And I explain Warhammer to them, and some are like,
I'm listening to erotica and painting Warhammer.
But some of them are like, oh, that's cool. And some of them are just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, wargaming, and then you get other people to sometimes paint them, and how much is that? And you go, like, hundreds and hundreds of pounds. I'm like, what? Like, what the fuck? Like, what? When you try and pitch elements of the hobby to a normie, they look at you like you're fucking nuts.
Could you ever commission paint something for somebody? You, personally?
No.
I couldn't either.
I'd get way too emotionally involved.
It's not that. I find painting back-breaking work, and it's fun and rewarding when you've done it. And there are certain parts of the process that I find really fun, but a lot of it is just like, oh my God, this is just not a natural position for my body to be in for this length of time.
Fair.
And like, you know, it's just, it is hard work. I couldn't do it as a job. So kudos to those people that do.
Fair. But like, by that same token, it's kind of impressive, right?
And
like,
oh yeah.
You know, the, like I say, to come out of classic art school where, you know, teachers warn students that there will be hungry years, right? Yeah. Where you might struggle for work.
It's, yeah,
and
it's
they
a great idea.
They walk into like a proper salary job with cushy benefits and stuff. And it's like, fucking hell. Mental. Like, what? Like, I bet the art teachers are like, what? Like, what the fuck? Like, that's crazy. Doing freehand and stuff and like all over your minis. And stuff. I bet they must enjoy doing freehand stuff quite a lot, right? Because they get to flex their proper.
I wonder how quick they are. Thing. Like, because this is the thing. Like, I always find
mega
that,
fast.
Yeah. I think this is one of the biggest things that holds me back as a painter is I'm just too slow. I feel like you're kind of the same. Like you and I are probably
I'm terrible.
A similar speed. Like
I'm terrible.
Because we're perfectionists as well. We want to get everything done.
We also like, choose stupid fucking color schemes for my
army. Yeah, you choose stupid fucking color schemes and then you get yours to like 80% done and then stop, which I don't understand. That boils my brain that you can do that. Like, I have to finish the unit completely and put it in a box before I can move on.
I get distracted.
I can't do that.
I get distracted way too quickly.
But then you've got like a sort of load of shit that's not quite usable or not quite finished.
Yeah, but then it takes 2 seconds to finish them off.
Well, finish them then, you fuck. Jesus.
I don't want to, Ed. You can't make me. Fuck you.
How
dare
you exist in that limbo? Like, that's awful. You're nutter. No, I couldn't do that. I have to finish everything completely.
Indeed, indeed. Mm. Speaking of nutters and finishing things that didn't quite get finished, look at this. This is a dryish
I mean, I set
blend.
You up with a really good blend earlier and you just ignored it completely.
What
I said,
that?
Have you
what
heard
that?
Of the Horus Heresy? And you just bounce right off of
it. You can't do that.
That's fine, don't worry.
Because the whole topic is right at the end, right?
It was so literally just a minute ago.
Oh, God, I'm a dick. Never mind. Oh,
it's
well,
fine.
Never mind. You need to like,
dry blend it. Go on.
Okay, so for our lore subject to round us off today, was Horus right? Should the Horus Heresy have happened?
Yes, he was right.
You go first. You go first this time.
Yeah, he was right. Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Why was he right?
Because the Emperor's a fucking idiot. he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing, apparently. And like, if I was Horus, I'd be like, hang on a minute. Sorry. You're just going to like chuck us all out here and leave us in the dark and kind of just be like, you know, just trust me, guys. Just trust me. Like, that would piss me off if I was Horus. I know that his fall was very different. You know, it had a whole load of, you know, shit knocking on from this and Erebus and all that bollocks. Like, I know there was a whole lead up to it, but I feel like just going off of, you know, what was going on with the Emperor alone, Horus kind of had his reasons. And I feel like, yes, sure, he went about it the wrong way, but I think he was right to question things. If I'm honest.
Interesting.
What do you think?
Interesting. I'm completely split on this now. Because once upon a time ago, I would have been third Reichy, like, for the Emperor! Do you know what I mean? Like, don't question his logic and reasons, right? And, you know, I have my classic Blanchy artwork of the Emperor that I constantly quote because I love it so much. That's just out of view. And you're like, it's just out of view.
I mean, it's actually getting more out of view every week. Like, I feel like eventually you're just going to be lying on the floor with your camera just aiming down at you. Hello there, I'm Russ.
I'll be honest, I don't think the reasons for Horus's betrayal were actually very well quantified.
No,
I agree. It was all egotistical because Erebus gave him the view of the future that, like, only half of the Primarchs are worshipped as, like, demigods and have statues and stuff, and, like, the High Lords of Terror are running, like, the Sharp, and, you know, it's the sort of dystopia that we now know as modern, like, 40K, right? And, like, I think for him it was just like a massive fucking ego trip where he was kind of like, well, why are they not worshipping me? Do you know what I mean? Like, and I don't think the intentions were necessarily pure. And also, like, chaos fucking sucks, man.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, let's be real. Like I know chaos loyalists, no pun intended there, spin it as like, well, chaos means freedom and like the ability to do what you want to do. And it's like, yeah, if you want to like murder your family in the name of corn or like, or if you want to grow like a second head like Zeech, or you want to like turn into a fucking like pile of pus or something, or like, you know, like go around with fucking 8 dicks. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, not good, man. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's hell. It's literal hell, right? Yeah. Your existence is hell, right? But by that same token, as you say, like, the Emperor's a bit of a cunt. So it's like
you've said that a lot this episode.
I did.
Yeah, that's the third one. You've reached your strike limit now.
What for the C word?
C word. Now, joking.
Really?
Yeah, that's it. YouTube will cancel it otherwise. No, I'm joking. Oh. It won't. I'm just.
No, I didn't know.
No, I'm joking.
But like, you know, he was a bastard, right?
Yeah, he was.
You know, he used people as for the most part pawns in his great imperial game and stuff, right? And to go with the bigger philosophical thing, right, of like chaos and kind of from the Alpha Legion's perspective of like stuff, right? Should humanity take the big hit for the sake of the universe, right? Where like, you know, if humanity was to be burned out by Horus during like the Horus Heresy and stuff like that, would it inevitably also eventually fizzle out the Chaos Gods as well because there's not enough worshippers to suck on that? That's heretical tea. Do you know what I mean? Where humanity is perfectly ripe for like chaos corruption, where we're just the right level of fucking primate to passion ratio, where like, you know, the Eldar were potentially perfect, but then a lot of them became puritanical dickheads, right? That like didn't want to even touch that shit anymore, right? And it's almost impossible now to corrupt, like as a concept, apart from Sinesh like gobbling their souls or whatever, right? Orcs can't be corrupted, really, for the most part, right? Mm. Necrons. Well, yeah, maybe, but fringes. Not enough to, like, sustain the Chaos Gods indefinitely, right? Necrons can't really be. Tyranids can't really be, right? So, like, humanity...
Yeah.
Is that, well, yes, okay, but, like, to appease the Chaos Gods and be, like, we're glutted with, like, influence, right?
Yeah.
So, like, humanity was, like, the perfect Chaos God food, right? So... in a way, Horus, like, doing the Horus Heresy and basically eradicating most of humanity from the universe, in the long run, probably doesn't really do Chaos that much of a service, apart from killing their nemesis, like the Emperor, right? So, you know...
But they haven't killed him anyway, so, really.
No, just, like, vegetabled him on the fucking, like, Golden Throne. It was just like...
Do
you know what I mean? So, like, you know, I don't know, man. Like, it's a really complicated one.
It is.
I don't think...
He didn't go about it the right way.
Horus's intentions were pure.
No.
But by that same token, I think, you know, I think humanity, like the Eldari, in their arrogance, needed a bit of a kick in, right? And I think kind of so did the Emperor.
Yeah.
Because the Emperor's a bit of a sick fuck, where I think he quite enjoys, like, being the center of
it
all, right?
And he likes dominating everyone as well.
One of my favorite books that I love is called The Last Church, where he basically, all he does... is go to, like, this old Terran church just before unification, like, at the tail end of unification, right? Just before the Great Crusade, where there is quite literally one final church left on Earth. And he goes, and guess what the Emperor does? He disguises himself as a guy called Revelation and goes and talks to the priest. And basically, the whole two-hour audiobook is basically him talking shit on this priest and being like, lol, there are no gods. Like, you're such a fucking idiot. Like, nah. And just, like, just destroys this guy's, like, entire life. Like, peace. But just this one guy.
Yeah.
Like, just this one guy, just out of quite a, like, spite almost, right? That he's just doing it just because he wants to, right?
Yep.
And the ironic thing is he kind of is a fucking god.
Yeah.
He kind of is.
Kind of, a little bit.
Lorgar was right. Lorgar was right all along, right?
Look at like, you that's... falling to chaos. Lorgar was right.
And I love Lorgar because I'm
the book of Lorgar.
The book of Lorgar was correct, but like, and I do actually quite like Lorgar. But my point is that, like, you know, the ironic thing is the Emperor is kind of winning a debate, kind of against himself. That like he's telling this bloody priest that gods aren't real and logic is the imperative, when he knows that the bloody Chaos God exists.
Yep.
That the Chaos Gods exist out there and that he's kind of also a god and Perpetuals are quite godlike as well, and like the warp is all kinds of weird and like how he can sit there with a straight face and do that.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like...
But this is why I say that I think Horus is right to question the Emperor, and I think like... Obviously, he didn't go the right way about it. There was too much ego involved, and it was like this huge fall, et cetera, et cetera. I think that he could have done it without involving chaos at all, to be honest with you. And I think
probably.
He could have just turned around and been like, actually, explain yourself, you know, dickhead. Yeah. Otherwise, we're not going to keep doing what you're asking us to do.
True.
And then, you know, Magnus would have had his answers, and then that fuck up wouldn't have happened anyway, even if there was a Horus Heresy. You know, it's just things like the Emperor trying to like keep all the cards so close to his chest is not really how you're supposed to do it when it comes to involving your sons, etc. Because they're obviously going to get feelings of resentment and like, you know, a bit like, what the fuck's going on here, really? You know,
the bit that I disagree with you slightly in as much as like the power of the ruinous powers is knowledge, right? And like, the less people know, potentially the less likely they are to fall into chaos. But then when they do find out, they then question everything, right? Yeah. But like, the one thing that is really shit about the Emperor, and the one reason why the Primarchs should be pissed, some of the Primarchs should be pissed off about the Emperor, is how inconsistent his daddying was with all of them, right?
So inconsistent.
Well, on one hand, he was like the benevolent sort of like god daddy to some of the Primarchs, like Dawn, like Gilliman, like the Lion, like Sanguinius, where he was like, oh, my precious boys, you're beautiful, you're the best. Like, yes, yes, yes.
If you look at it like an actual father, it's fucking mental.
Horus to some extent. Yeah. Lehman Russ, where it's like, gold star for you, Lehman. Yeah. He's like, woo!
Can you imagine if I was like sat there with my 10 kids and I was like, oh, really lovely to one of them.
You're a bunch of dicks.
Another one comes over and he's like, hey, Dad. And I'm just like, ignore him. And then another one comes over and he's like, Dad, what are those two mounds of earth outside in our garden? I'm like, we don't talk about those.
About those. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We don't know what happened there either, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck? But, you know, and there was some really senseless, like, really bad daddying there. Like, Angron was the prime example, right? Where, like, you know, we've talked
about
it in
the past.
He
really shit the bed with Angron.
Totally, right? Where, like Angron's, you know, he should have been like a cleric, ironically, right? Yeah. And now he's this gladiatorial guy where, like, the Emperor... Like, the really spiteful thing was, like, the Emperor was like, I could take the nails out of his head, but I can't be bothered. But the really stupid one was like, I could save all of his gladiators and stuff and all of his dudes that were, like, rebelling on that home planet. He's like, nah, I'm just going to pick up Angron and fuck off and just let him get really pissed off at me for the rest of his life. And it just seems so unnecessarily spiteful.
It was really,
you know what I mean?
Really dumb. Yep.
Mortarion as well, exactly the same thing. Morty too, like a lot of the Primarchs. And, of course, you know, like the you know what happened with Lorgar and the Ultramarines raising.
Yeah, because he gave like Lorgar a real kicking for like trying to worship him. Like he really made a dick of him. Yeah,
and arguably that was it. Mm-hmm. Like that to me, the Horus Heresy didn't start at Horus ironically falling.
No,
the Horus Heresy started with Chthonia being raised, right? And that was it, because then Lorgar was like, "Get fucked! Like I'm gonna now find the actual spiritual truth out there."
And he's like. 10,000 years later, he's like, I'm fucking trapped. There's this weird spooky crow outside my house and I can't come out.
Leave me alone. And the thing is, from the Emperor's perspective, is the Emperor knows that the Chaos Gods exist, right?
Yeah.
So by him spanking Lorgar, of course Lorgar's going to go fucking elsewhere. And he knows that he's going to probably find the Chaos Gods one day, right? So... Yeah. I don't know. Like, as time goes on, I'm not like... You know, it was justified, but I think the Horus Heresy did need to happen because, you know, what was going to happen in the end game of, like, the Emperor's great dystopia, right? Like, was he always going to keep power? Do you know what I mean? Like, and just accumulate this, like,
until we see
power?
The story go forwards and we get the revelation that, oh, I knew what I was doing all along. This is all part of the plan, Emperor, which I keep talking about, and it's definitely going to happen one day. Just wait. Mark my words, Russ. It will. So, yeah, I don't know. It is a difficult one. I can't say that he was right. Obviously, he went the wrong way about
it. Shades of grey, right?
Exactly. I think there is a bit of a middle ground here where it's like, actually, I kind of get it, but also, you know, it's not the way I'd have handled it.
And the Imperium is pretty fucking brutal, man. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, it's not as bad as Chaos, and I will argue that to my last, right? Where, like, as I've said before, I'd rather be a worm under the treads of the Imperium than a fucking, like... Sure. Demonette snack, do you know what I mean? But like, maybe actually.
Demonette snatch.
Gross. But by that same token, it does still suck.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know. Both. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's complicated.
It's so complicated. Let us know what you guys think, because I'd love to hear some other people's arguments for and against this, or whether you guys feel like you sit in the grey area middle ground as well.
But this does highlight my
up our ass from the fence we're sat on.
Well, but it does highlight my movement, though, Because if you would have asked me this a year ago when we started the pod, I would have been like, the Emperor was always like, fuck Horus and stuff.
I mean, you
and
literally now, used to be I'm, like that.
Yeah. And now I'm like, you know, kind of becoming a veteran of the long war now. I'm like,
I don't see the form.
Loga yeah. have some great ideas.
I love being a Necron player because we just sat there in our big like dead zone, like warp dead zone of space where we set up all our Noctilith beacons and stuff. And we've got no souls anyway. So what the fuck do the Chaos Gods want with us, you know?
They don't give a shit about
We're just
you.
Chilling. Chilling. It's great.
Letting your whimsical brains rot inside your like metal bodies.
Exactly.
I want to be eccentric today. Let's build a machine that like destroys 15,000 worlds.
Yeah,
let's
exactly.
Fuck it. Fuck it.
Love it.
And I'm going to also argue with my Necron neighbor about how loud he plays music at 11 o'clock at night. Get off my lawn.
Oh, you fucker.
For these weird like relationships over centuries.
I love that.
Oh, well. But let us know what you think, everybody. That was quite a fun one today.
It was good.
I quite enjoyed that. We waffled a little bit, but there's some really cool
shit. Well, I felt
like
we had quite a lot to unpack with the old tournament, so it made sense to waffle a little bit.
And thank you very much for being my awesome teammate for that event.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you for coming and being an unofficial tryhard for the weekend. It was good fun.
I'll be honest, I'd never wear a team jersey, but I'm becoming more okay with the concept of being in a team. Because, like I said, that was the funnest 40K event I've ever had.
That's exciting. Yeah. You're such a changed man. You used to be sat there like, I'll never join a team. I'm going to only play Dark Angels. And then nearly a year later, you're like, I fancy joining a team. It was so much fun. And I'm playing CSM now. Russ, where are your values?
Like the arch traitor. Literally the arch traitor. Yeah. I'm fallen. Not even a Xenos race. I'm like full on, fucking heretic now. I'm like, fuck me. What happened?
I'm the fucking Xeno boy.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, God, I felt like a true Dark Angel. I fell, I suppose.
You have fallen, you know what I mean? A lion will be coming for you.
To be fair, I still get to play a Dark Angel of sorts in the form of Cypher whenever I play a game.
Yeah,
cool. Technically, I still am playing a Dark Angel on the battlefield.
I wound you up with Cypher. When Russ arrived at the event and we gave him his army, I said, you painted Cypher, right? And he was like, no. And I was like, you did, didn't you? But you shitting me. And he was like, no, have I not got a Cypher this weekend? And I was like, no, we didn't bring one. You said you were painting one. And he was like, and then I was like, no, he's in there, really.
And to be fair, Cypher, I've said this on the channel before, Cypher has always been one of my favorite characters of all time, right?
So
the fact that I get to play him.
He's such a bastard to play against.
He's so
because
fun.
Like, that 12 inch aura of like, no.
Do you want, yeah, but also, do you know the other cool one is when you shoot a unit next to him, he shoots fucking back!
Does he?
He gunslingers
back! Like my
back.
Hex mark. Oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah but his shooting's
and
awesome.
And he shoots in combat, which is the only... He actually shoots his pistols
in combat. But he can shoot
combat.
One unit, charge another unit, kind of shoot in combat again. Oh, he's fucking like gunslinging,
He's so annoying to play against, especially for me, because he makes all my strats so expensive, and I need my strats to reanimate. Like, I hate him. Dickhead.
So the best of dickheads. Alpharius, arguably. Yep. So join us on the Battle Barn where I will be playing Creations of Bile.
Yeah.
So you'll get to see
you
that happen live.
Playing not this coming weekend, because we're streaming on the second Friday, the second this week, with Paul, who is bringing his Leagues of Votann. I think I might be playing something like Marines or something, just to mix it up a bit.
Fucking Warboss John all weekend was like, say Voltan, Russ, and I was like, Voltan. No. Yes, I know, it's a bit weird. Oh,
but yes, you're playing on the 10th, Saturday the 10th, aren't you, of May, so that will be really fun. So and you're bringing the CSM on the channel.
Bringing the hurt, mate. Are you ready? Are you
ready?
Is your asshole ready?
I think I'm going to play the Gene Steeler Colts for that one.
Oh, it's going to be so messy.
So, yeah.
It'll be such a messy game. Death everywhere.
It will be fine.
Just death on all sides.
We're going to also be doing an extra stream next week because I've got one of the chaps, Plato, who is a tryharder. Yeah, he's staying over with us after the event for a couple of days. So we'll probably do a stream on Tuesday with his CSM. But he's running Iron Warriors, so that'll be really cool.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Shit.
There we go. I'm looking at Chaos Space Marines now. I'm like, and I'm like, what happened to me?
What has happened to you, Russ?
I know.
You've truly fallen.
I have, in a literal sense, as a Dark Angels player. Right, let us know what you think, guys. Love you loads.
And thank you for all your support, as always.
It's very much appreciated.
And if you haven't subscribed, subscribe. We need to hit 500 subscribers and stuff.
Yes. So, yes, because our watch hours are nearly there, but we need fucking subscribers now. Juice us.
Juice us.
Juice us. Juice us right up. Cool. Ciao, everyone.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.